Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingenstein.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingenstein with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Doug Hoekstra. Doug was a senior executive in the finance area at Medtronic. He had a 30-year career there until he retired in 2021. He held the position of vice president and global controller for 12 years, and he co-chaired the finance executive committee at Medtronic. And he has some great thoughts he's going to share around leadership and managing your career. Looking forward to today's conversation with Doug. Well, I guess for our listeners, could you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your background and your career?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I'll start from the very beginning, born and raised in St. Paul, Minnesota. Went from there, graduated from the University of Minnesota, which seems like a really long time ago at this stage. Went to KPMG and worked there for about 6.5 years. Then I joined Medtronic and originally started intending to only be at Medtronic 5 years, but it turns out I ended up staying there for 30 years. Surprisingly, as I look back at it, but had a wonderful career there, great opportunity, really a gift to work at the company. Spent the first 18 years kind of in and out of corporate and in operations. And then the last 12 years, I was with the controller or global controller through 2021. So a long tenured time at Medtronic. And then more recently, in the retirement world, I've done a small amount of board work, a little consulting, a little mentorship, and kind of thinking about what might be next. Okay. On the personal side, wife, two kids, two daughters, adult daughters, one son from my first marriage with two grandkids. So they keep us busy. We just got together here. I'm in Palm Desert, California right now, and we just got together here for a week, which we don't do very often. So that was really enjoyable. So good to see everybody and have everybody together.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you were able to go back to that 22-year-old Doug and give him some advice, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give him?
Well, that's a really good question. And I did actually get that question a lot when I was working at Medtronic in the leadership role. So I've given that some thought. And, you know, I think a lot of it, I'm pretty much a common sense person, pragmatic approach to things. And some of this stuff isn't rocket science. I think it's really important. But I think to realize when you're really starting your career, doing a really good quality job in everything you do is really important. I mean, at the end of the day, your manager or supervisor is looking at you to make their life easier. So I think just doing a really quality job is really important. And I think sometimes we forget to remind ourselves of that. I would also say first impressions are really important. I think back to the people that I view that have been had very successful careers. They were good from the beginning, that first time I met them. So I think that's really important. Being open to new experiences, looking back now and having my career in the rearview mirror, your career is a really long time. And to take an opportunity to maybe do something that maybe wasn't as glamorous or whatnot, but it was more foundational, is really important to do. So I think just being open to all those opportunities, some which might appear to be more exciting than others, but you really evaluate all of those things, I think, is really important. Another one is find a job or career you like. I'm kind of debating this with my kids right now. The big thing right now is to find a job that you're passionate about. I think that's a really high goal. And I think that puts a lot of actual pressure on people to find something they're passionate about and making a living about. So I'd like to back that off just a little bit and say, find something that you like to do. Because there's a lot of other passions you can have in life besides your career. Then I think maybe kind of rounding out here a little bit, who you work for is really important. I look back at the people I was very fortunate to work for, and they were all really good at what they did. And clearly part of my success was attributable to working for them. And so success breeds success. And so I think being intentional when you're evaluating roles and who your boss is going to be is really important. The number one reason why people leave their roles is their boss. So I think that's something to think about. And then really networking. I have a saying that I kind of said a lot, and I think it resonated a lot with people. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. And there's a difference. And I think, especially when you're working in a large organization, that's really important. So networking is really key too. So that's a quick summary. If I think back to the 22-year-old Doug Hoekstra, that's what I would maybe recommend.
Great. So as thinking back to that first leadership position, maybe talk a little bit about that, what is involved. I'm sure you were doing a great job as an individual contributor, and somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Hey, we see some qualities in you. We think you would be a great leader of a team." Talk about that experience and just what you wish you would have known earlier.
Well, that's a good question. Because your career evolves, you obviously reflect more on that and gain more knowledge. But if I think back to when I first started, probably some really good advice I got and then I shared as my career evolved is there's a difference between being a manager and a leader. And I often ask people when I interviewed them to describe, tell me your leadership style. And inevitably, probably 9 times out of 10, people would describe their management style. And so I kind of boiled it down and asked the question a little bit differently, which I think is more revolves around leadership, is why do people want to work for you? Fundamentally, why do people really want to work for you? Because that's really your leadership style. And so I think I didn't really understand when I probably had my first leadership role, that distinction. And, there is a big jump from being a manager of people to being a leader of people. And I think being mindful of your own leadership style, and I get that that's difficult when you're just starting because that's the start of the process, but really trying to understand what your leadership style is and evaluate that over time, I think is really important.
So I'm going to throw this question out for you
and
see if you've got a good response. So how did your leadership evolve over time? So think about that first position compared to your last position, and what were some changes that you saw?
Yeah, well, that's also a good question, Mark. You're throwing out some good ones here today. So I would say fundamentally, one thing that didn't change, because this was drilled into me by my dad growing up and as he coached me through my career, is he always said, hire the best people, hire good people, get good people working for you no matter what you can do. And that is so true, because having good employees working for you just make your life a lot easier. So that is something that always has been there for me. I think the thing that probably grew the most, or that I realized the most, and I think part of this is just maybe maturing too, is it's much more fun to be part of a successful team than to be a successful individual. And so I think I really focused a lot more on fostering team effectiveness as my career evolved, because it is. And clearly one of the more rewarding things as I ended my career is just watching the people who worked for me evolve their careers and grow into strong leaders. And so I think that was probably one thing that I probably early on I didn't realize enough and spent more time on, or should have spent more time on. And then the other thing, which again, I think you just evolve as leaders, is just empowering your employees. People are capable of doing way more than they think they can. And so, you know, at the end of my career versus the beginning of my career, I often would want to do the work for them. Right. Clearly at the end of my career, it was like, no, I'll give you the direction. You're way smarter than I am. You can figure it out. And we can go from there. So I think that's kind of how things evolved a little bit. And then I think the other thing that I probably learned, we had a leadership conference at Medtronic a long time ago, and the CEO of Cisco was presenting. And one thing that he said that I fundamentally remember is leadership is all about delivering results. Good leaders deliver results. And I think that's so true. And it's at really at every level. It's not even at just leadership levels. It's at an employee level. It's at a team level. If you're part of a team, it will be viewed as successful if you deliver those results, no matter what those results are.
Yeah, great advice. So I know you were a part of something that was a large, probably your largest project, I think, probably the merger of Covidien and Medtronic
yes.
A number of years ago. Looking at complexity, every leadership position has some complexity, whether it's people, you know, circumstance as far as that you needed to do. But talk about managing a project like that and just anything you learned during that that huge undertaking.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing back a lot of memories, actually. I remember my boss, Gary Ellis, who was the CFO at the time of Medtronic, called me in and he told me what was happening. And he said to me, he goes, well, how are you going to integrate this? How are you going to do this? And, you know, here I am having no idea what had happened or what was happening, being thrown this big thing of, okay, we're going to merge these two really significant organizations together. And, you know, so I immediately, I'm a problem solver. So the brain started spinning and I started thinking about, okay, how are we going to get this done? But at the end of the day, you know, it really comes back to the people involved. And immediately we put a team together from both sides of Medtronic side and Covidien, and we identified the high performing people and put those people in charge of integrating the two organizations. And, you know, fundamentally at its core, back to my original thing of what would I would do say to a 22-year-old starting their career, it's, or a future leader, it's all about the people. And good people are capable of so many things. And I think both on the Covidien side and the Medtronic side, put the best people on the integration project. And the good news is on the Covidien side, the company that was being acquired, the attitude of that organization towards integration was really positive. They had done many acquisitions themselves, and so they knew what it was like. And the attitude that the whole Covidien team and organization had towards being successful in this integration was really critical as well. I often thought, because that was a big undertaking that went on for a good 5 years probably, and took a lot of effort on a lot of people, including myself. I often thought I probably would not want that to do that again, just because to have two large organizations like that aligned so much on being successful on integrating the company, I just don't know that could happen again. And that's really a credit to, you know, the executive leadership and the CEOs at the time. So, but yeah, that's a good one. That brings back a lot of memories, a lot of positive memories of that whole project, even though it was very, very significant and very demanding.
Sure. And I'm sure you've seen this. There's lessons that we learn from watching people's success, but there's also lessons that we learn from watching people that maybe start out well, but they don't finish well, and they derail themselves as far as a career. What are some common mistakes that you've seen over the years that new leaders make as they're moving into those new roles?
You know, I think from when I started my career to where things are today, things have changed a lot in the work environment. And so I think, you know, what I always said, and this is kind of maybe making it simple, I just remember people when I started my career, you know, doing the yelling and screaming thing, right? And that just doesn't work in today's environment. And so I think being mindful of the people around you and taking care of them and really focus on treating them and respecting them as people is super, super important. I think the other thing that I learned, and I saw this people fail because of this, is I think leadership is all about being authentic and being yourself. And I always say, if you're a different person behind closed doors in the board meeting than you are out in public, you're not authentic. And I did see examples of that where, you know, people would go in front of a group and you'd look at them and you would go, who are you? You know, you're completely different. And so I think that whole focus on authentic leadership, which Bill George, the former CEO of Medtronic, wrote a book on that a while ago when I was kind of in my early stages of my leadership career. I think that's so, so important to, you know, be yourself, you know, because that's who you are, and don't try to be somebody different. It just doesn't work, and people see through it over time. And so that would be the answer to that. Good question.
So tell me a couple books that you think would be, that you encourage other leaders to read that you've, it's been.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one too. I just, Bill George's book on authentic leadership is clearly would be one of them. I found that, and I don't know if it was just the timing was right, but that I resonated with a lot of that. And that really helped me. There's so much information out there, and I've read a lot of different books. The one that sticks with me is probably the most is Stephen Covey's Seven Habits. You know, his phrases of being proactive, thinking win-win, begin with the end in mind. You know, I use those a lot throughout my career, and still to this day, I think they make a ton of sense. So that would probably be the one that sticks with me the most. I'm not a huge book reader, but those are ones that did resonate with me quite a bit.
So outside of work, what do you do to recharge? And I should say that you do work, but you've got more free time now.
Well, let's see. When I was working, I would work out and run. Would be kind of the things that I would do to recharge. Now being in retirement and having more time, I probably work out a little less, run a little less, but have picked up hiking, playing pickleball, and playing more golf are kind of my things to just kind of recharge. I'm very active, so I like to be active, but I'm shifting as my body is telling me certain things aren't good for me anymore. So
what parting advice would you give a newer up and coming leader?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's interesting. Again, looking back in the rearview mirror of my career, I think probably the two things that I would say, one is really focus on work-life balance. Demanding roles can be all consuming. And I clearly had a demanding role for a really long time. And I got out of kilter on work-life balance. Not bad, but you know, it came as a sacrifice to family and whatnot. And I think the younger generation, at least from what I can tell, is much more focused on that, which I think is a good thing, versus my generation. And so I think that is really important. You can have work, you can be really successful and have good work-life balance. It is possible to do. So I think that would be one. The second thing I would probably highlight is just really set your sights high. I think back for me individually, I think back when I was just starting out my career, kind of what my aspirations were versus what I ended up at. I was completely off where I could go. And I see that with other people as well. And it comes back to people are capable of doing really, really good things and really big things. And so I would take your goals that you have set for yourself and raise them by 10 times and, you know, for your career over time, because you're capable of doing a lot.
Well, Doug, this has been a lot of fun. Definitely. I know the things you shared are going to be helpful to those listening, and wish you continued success in all you're doing in retirement, and definitely appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.